Welcome to Spoken Web Shortcuts. Each month on alternate fortnights, that's every second week following the monthly Spoken Web podcast episode, join me, Hannah McGregor, and our minisode host and curator, Catherine McLeod, for Spoken Web's Shortcuts miniseries. We'll share with you specially curated audio clips from deep in the Spoken Web archives to ask, what does it mean to cut and splice digitally? What kinds of new stories and audio criticism can be produced through these short archival clips? An extension of the Shortcuts blog posts on Spoken Web blog, this series brings Catherine's favorite audio clips each month to the Spoken Web podcast feed. So if you love what you hear, make sure to head over to spokenweb.ca for more. Without further ado, here is Catherine McLeod with Spoken Web Shortcuts, mini stories about how literature sounds.
Welcome to Shortcuts. It's March 2021. Our deep dive into the Spoken Web audio collections continues with the question of how to hear time. We'll be listening to a poem that describes the moment between winter and spring. I'm recording this minisode in a city where the month of March feels a lot like winter. Here, March is a time when it might as well be spring, but on other days, it can feel like winter might never end. It's a time of year when you can hear snow melting, a sound that tells of the coming spring, and a sound that conveys the lasting presence of the past season, a frozen archive of winter. What does it feel like to listen in and to this season of change? Can we hear spring in the archives? Can we hear the spring thaw in an archival recording of poetry?
This is one of the very cold days, I guess about 10 below, cold enough. It's inside the pane of glass. Separating inside from outside comes into a certain kind of sky that goes with that which is like glass again. The sun has not absorbed this icy day, and this day's industry in behind glass hasn't the blue and gold cold outside. Though not absorbing, this sought that.
That was Canadian poet Margaret Avison introducing her very wintry poems on January 27, 1967. She read that night at Sir George Williams University at what is now Concordia in Montreal. That is the first event you'll hear audio from in this Shortcuts. The second event was also held on January 27th, but in a different year. Not in 1967, but in 2021. On that January 27th, I played some clips from Avison's reading as part of a Spoken Web listening practice. In choosing to listen to the recording on the same day, it was like a ghost reading, a listening activity in which the reading is listened to on the same day as it would have taken place. And while listening, listeners make things out of the listening, such as notes, doodles, booklets, paintings, and more. I thought I'd try out how the ghost reading translates into a virtual environment in which we are listening together, but not in the same place. How would we listen, and what would we make? Poet Barbara Nickel had joined us for the listening practice, and I asked her what it was like to hear that opening that we just heard of Avison introducing the wintry poem, The Absorbed, from Winter Sun.
I spent the whole morning just reading, actually, Winter Sun. And I have, from years of reading her, I have a certain voice in my mind, the voice of the page. And then to hear her voice for the first time, it's just, I can't put words to it, but it's so mundane to me, her voice. It feels mundane in one sense. And so it's like, it's almost disappointing. But then on the other hand, I find that the articulation of the consonants, something that I love so much about Avison's work, comes through so clearly and articulates those sounds to me in a way that I've never noticed before.
Also listening was poet Stephanie Bolster, and she had a very similar reaction to Barbara in that this poet who she had spent so much time listening to on the page was now audible. I asked Stephanie if she had ever heard an Avison recording before.
No, I never have. That's what was sort of magical about it is like, yeah. You know, her authentic voice, having had the voices of the poems in my head, but never attributed any particular voice. And I guess I'm getting a sense of expectation of formality based on the work itself, but never really having thought about what she would sound like.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point to introduce her voice to us to start with, because she's somebody who seeing titles of her work, like she has a book called Listening. So you think like, oh, what is this voice going to sound like? Or all of her work that say the poem Snow, maybe encountering that as an undergrad and, you know, her words about like the sad listener or optic heart that gets so often quoted from that poem. But thinking like, what does her voice sound like reading it?
As I started riffing upon Stephanie's point, she added a comment into the Zoom chat that it was important to remember that Avison's voice is mediated through recording technologies. So that really raises the question of where the authentic voice is, and whether there are other ways of understanding its embodied and material source, where the voice is coming from. Let's hear more of Avison's voice from this archival recording as she reads the poem.
The thaw. Sticky inside their winter suits, the Sunday children stare at pools in pavement and black ice where roots of sky and moodier sky dissolve. An empty coach train runs along the thin and sooty river flats, and stick and straw and random stones steam faintly when its steam departs. Lime water and licorice light wander the tumbled streets. A few sparrows gather. A dog barks out under the dogless pale, pale blue. Move your tongue along a slat of a raspberry box from last year's crate. Smell a saucepan tilt of water on the coal ash in your grate. Think how the Black Death made men dance, and from the silt of centuries the proof is now scraped bare that once Troy fell and Pompeii scorched and froze. A boy alone out in the court whacks with his hockey stick and whacks in the wet, and the pigeons flutter and rise and settle back.
Thaw is a poem that I wrote about last year in March 2020, when Shortcuts used to be Audio of the Week. I chose the poem as a way of coping with the uncertainty of the pandemic. By chance, the poem ends up having a reference to the plague in it. There I was, trying to find a poem to guide us from winter to spring, through a time of transition, and I was forced to confront the pandemic yet again. I could have pressed stop, I could have chosen another poem, but I chose to replay the poem and to re-listen to it again, as I have done here and in the listening practice. The poem depicts a solitary image, a boy alone making a sound with a hockey stick, causing the pigeons to flutter and rise and settle back. A scene and a sound of winter solitude and of repetition. What was it like then to listen to this poem together?
I guess I'll say that I kept wishing I could seize everything and, you know, slow it down and take in the details, just like the density and the abundance of details. I was scribbling things down and couldn't keep up. And in that sense, it really felt, the same sense I would have had in a live reading. Even though it was recorded, because we were listening to it together, I couldn't just stop it and go back. And so I think it really did replicate that sense of having a communal experience, sharing something mm-hmm. and gaining all that I gained, but also losing all that one does lose in a live reading.
Here we were on January 27th, 2021, listening to a recording of Avison from January 27th, 1967, and we were struck by the immediacy of her voice. I couldn't help think that maybe all of these online readings were making us more attuned to the recorded voice. With nearly all literary events as virtual over this past year, we've been practicing our skills of hearing an archival recording as a performance, one that is mediated and live. Let's liven up the end of this minisode. Get ready for our first Shortcuts Audio Challenge. Solving mysteries in the audio archives together. There's a very curious moment in the recording of the Avison reading, but we didn't have time to talk about it in the listening practice. Then a couple weeks later, I saw that Spoken Web researcher Mathieu Aubin, a friend of Shortcuts, as you may recall, he guest produced a minisode last season, he had posted a tweet about this very same moment. He agreed to revisit this moment in the archives together. So thank you for joining me for this conversation, and welcome back to Shortcuts.
Hi, happy to be here.
What was the tweet that you wrote after listening to the Avison recording? Would you mind reading that out for us?
Yeah, of course. So in today's listening to the Sir George Williams collections, I heard Margaret Avison, who was introducing one of her poems, being interrupted by a man in the audience who mansplains her own work. Eh boy. But as a badass, Avison calls him out, making the audience laugh.
I think it's just beautiful, but nobody gets it unless I explain. So I'll explain. It's like you take a piece of 8x11 typing paper. All right, you can tell me then. Eh? Set the mite on the single page of a sad letter, Eureka. Now, come on. Hmm? Does anybody want the explanation? Well, I've read it. It's just a crumpled up letter, you know, you get it and you read it and you cry and you crumple it up and throw it down and the mite goes up. Now I'll read it again. Said the mite on the single page of a sad letter, Eureka.
When I was listening to it the first and second time, because I re-listened to it immediately, it's different with you, obviously, because we're actually responding and we're both like in on like the like this is about to happen. But it's that first, like, the audacity of that anonymous man being able, like, you know, just interrupting her and then telling her to do something on the one hand. On the other hand, is her being like, come on, do you want to do it? Do you really want, like, just calling him out? And you could feel it generations later of, like, that awkwardness, and you'd be like, everyone's like,
Now I'll read it again. Said the mite on the single page of a sad letter, Eureka.
That point that we're listening almost anticipating, knowing what she's going to do. Yeah. I love thinking of all of the sounds in there. Even I'm wondering what this is. It almost sounds like she stamps the desk with her hand or something. So I'll just play this here.
All right, you can tell me then. Hey.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't notice that as I was paying attention more so to the words that I could understand, but you're right. You're like the book, like hitting like the I don't know, the podium or whatever it was.
Yeah, just that sound. It really sounds like either, you know, thumping down onto the desk or a book hitting, but it really punctuates it.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that the whole sort of joke or pun is about paper and a letter, mm-hmm. and like then this if she does like slam the book down, or if she, you know, that the sort of the presence of the weight of a page
letter,
is right there.
You get it and you read it and
you cry
and
you crumple it up you throw it down, and there's so many emotions happening in this moment.
Now I'll read it again.
Do you feel like you get it?
Yeah, I'm trying to picture it in my head, obviously, when I'm listening to that, and I can kind of see it. Like, do I immediately get the symbolic significance? Not necessarily. At the same time, I think it gains more significance with, like, what's happening in that moment in like in the performance, like the eureka, like here we are. Kind of like what you were saying earlier, like almost like drawing a parallel between what's happening with the paper and her like using the paper and then speaking up. If I were to read it, I guess on the page, it would probably, I'd probably sit with it a bit longer. But that's the thing about audio, right? You can pause it, but you're trying to listen along and try to be in that moment.
We talked about even more than I could have imagined from the clip itself. So thanks so much for listening back to this moment in the archives and for joining me once again on Shortcuts.
And it's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's leave this mystery unsolved. And more than solving the mystery, I hope that this audio challenge will unite us as an audience. In 1967 and in 2021, as having to figure something out together, as having to share our confusion and our curiosity. My name is Catherine McLeod, and Shortcuts is produced by myself, hosted by Hannah McGregor, and mixed and mastered by Stacey Copeland. This minisode was recorded in the city of Montreal on the unceded lands known as Jotjage by the Ganagahaga Nation. A special thanks to Stephanie Bolster, Barbara Nickel, and to all of the listeners in the listening practice, and of course, to our guest, Mathieu Aubin, for taking on the first Shortcuts audio challenge. Tune in next month for another deep dive into the sounds of the Spoken Web Archives. And next month, it might be spring.